This is Drew Mackey, and you're listening to Singing Mountain. Welcome to an episode I'm calling A Beautiful Place by Moonlight. Yes, it's one of those episodes where I'm getting all expressive, I guess, and I'm picking music that suggests a certain aesthetic. In this case, I'm going with night music, but the lighter side of night music? This is not sinister night music. That would be a different episode. Think of lights against a night sky. Think of a city at midnight that's still not asleep. Think of neon? Yeah, neon. I'll go with that. Or think of it as a sequel to an episode I did around this time last year. Episode 11, Moonlight Drive, which was all about driving at night. As I realize, these themes are pretty close, but I just like this mood. I think of it as a nice transition into the outright spooky music I have planned for October. And go listen to the Moonlight Drive episode if you like this one. I think it holds up pretty well. The music that opened this episode comes from a game that I've never played but always wanted to. Nights into Dreams, the 1996 Sega title released for the Saturn, where the levels are dreams and you can turn into that floaty purple jester dude, whose name is also Nights. I never owned a Saturn, but I can remember seeing screenshots from this game back in the day in old video game magazines and thinking it looked gorgeous and surreal and dark, but not ugly dark, kind of a beautiful dark. And all the more so because I was still in 16-bit mode, and I hadn't even gotten a Nintendo 64 at that point. The song, composed by Tomoko Sasaki, plays in the Mystic Forest level, and it's titled Gloom of the NHB. I don't know what that means, NHB. Do you know what it stands for? Please tell me. Limited Googling didn't tell me, and I was surprised that the word gloom was even in the title because the song seemed to me like very upbeat, happy night music, which is what this episode is all about. Case in point, the next track, which comes from Thunder Force 4, a sci-fi themed shooter released for the Genesis in 1993. You're fighting aliens, but you don't get a whole lot of galactic Armageddon from this track, which is laid back and beautiful. It's titled Silvery Light of the Moon, and the game soundtrack is credited to Yoshiharu Yamanishi, Takeshi Yoshida, and Tomomo Uutani. Next up is another track from a sci-fi game, Street Fighter 2010, Capcom's kinda sorta spinoff to the Street Fighter series that has nothing to do with Street Fighter proper, and instead has you fighting monsters in a world of cyborgs that even 8 years after 2010 still has not happened. Which I guess is a good thing that we don't have evil cyborgs, but the thing that's most memorable about Street Fighter 2010 is the soundtrack by Junko Tamiya. It's that very particularly Capcom-y sound, and the track I'm going to play for you wouldn't really be out of place in a Mega Man game. It's called Planet 7. It's what you hear on Planet 7. Go figure. And now we get to Castlevania. Given this episode's theme, you probably could have guessed that I'd have some Castlevania music, because not all of it is purely sinister, macabre music. This series has moments of beauty, too. It's ghostly, supernatural beauty, but still beauty. And one of my favorite of these beautiful tracks is Prayer of a Tragic Queen from Castlevania Bloodlines. Is the track that plays in the fifth stage, which would be the one that takes place at Versailles. And I think it matches the setting very nicely. It's grand, but of a different time and a little sad, especially considering that Castlevania Bloodlines takes place in the 20th century. And I wonder if the Tragic Queen mentioned in the title is supposed to be Marie Antoinette? Probably. Regardless, this track was composed by Michiro Yamane. Thank you. I've played tracks before from Treasure of the Rudras, a Squaresoft RPG released late in the lifespan of the Super Famicom, and alas, one that never got officially translated into English. But hey, we don't need to speak Japanese to enjoy the game's soundtrack, and it's a fantastic soundtrack that I'm determined to introduce to you, dear listener, track by track. The title of this one is Sword of the Valiant, parentheses, Moonlight, about which I can tell you nothing because I have not played this game. But even without that title, I think it creates the mental image I'm going for in this episode. Treasure of the Rudras was composed by Ryuji Sasai, who also composed Final Fantasy Mystic Quest, which I'll point out to you is way better than it has any right to be. Treasure of the Rudras, however, might be his best. In 2007, Nintendo released Hotel Dusk, Room 215 for the Nintendo DS. It's a point-and-click mystery game about a room at a hotel that allegedly has some paranormal properties. And though it did get a sequel, Last Window, The Secret of Cape West, released for the Nintendo DS in 2010, it ended there and is subsequently not as widely remembered as other Nintendo franchises. This game has a cool, contemporary sound to it, especially in comparison to what we might think of as being more typical Nintendo-style music. And this one track, Desert Highway, gets right at the dreamy, quiet atmosphere I wanted for this episode. Desert Highway was composed by Satoshi Okubo. Thank you. like how I do with all of the, you know, aesthetic theme episodes I've done on this show, I pick tracks based on that, regardless of how they function in the games they come from. Which is to say, I'm using some of these songs out of their original context, including this next track, which comes from the first Breath of Fire game. In this game, the hero has a sister, Sarah, who's a tragic figure, and her theme, titled Fate, reflects this. It kind of sounds like a nocturne to me, so pretty night music, just in this case with a twinge of sadness to it. Also, if you haven't played this game or it's been a while since you did, Google Sarah from Breath of Fire. She looks a lot like Shala from Chrono Trigger. Purple robe, blue hair, tragic trajectory. And I recall in the original Japanese version of Chrono Trigger, Shala was actually named Sarah. That's weird, right? Are they both references to something that I'm not getting? Or is it just a weird RPG coincidence? Fate, parentheses, Sarah's theme, was composed by Yasuaki Fujita. Mega Man 8 was released for the Sony PlayStation in 1996, and in that game, one of the robot masters was Searchman, who was a two-headed soldier boss. He wears camouflage, and I guess it makes sense that his stage is a forest, because why camouflage otherwise? But the BGM for this stage doesn't sound like a forest to me. It sounds like a city at night. Composer Shusaku Uchiyama didn't do wrong, but just did something that makes me think of a setting other than a forest. Even like a Mega Man robot forest. Have a listen to Forest Theme from Mega Man 8 and think to yourself about what it actually makes you think of. Do you guys know what a giallo is? If you don't, it's a sort of Italian horror movie that usually has some kind of investigative aspect. Like, sometimes it's a supernatural story, sometimes it's more of a slasher movie, but usually someone is trying to solve a mystery or trying to figure out who the killer is and playing detective even if they're not actually a detective. Whatever the case, these movies tend to have a certain vibe that often includes a certain kind of soundtrack. Have you ever seen Suspiria? Like the original one? Go watch that if you like horror movies, and you'll get the idea pretty quickly. This next track reminds me of something you would hear on a giallo soundtrack. It's eerie, but not exactly quite that menacing, and also kind of pretty. It's The Submerged City from Super Castlevania IV, a game composed by Masanori Adachi and Taro Kudo. Have a listen. I'm not making any grand proclamation in saying that Shovel Knight had a great soundtrack, but I would say that it often excelled more than other games I've played in the last few years at instantly transporting me to a setting. And the one I'm picking for this episode is the campfire theme, The Starlit Winds. It's a beautiful title that perfectly fits the song's beautiful sound. This track makes me think of all the reasons night can be a beautiful thing, especially when there's a light in the darkness. The Starlit Winds was composed by Jake Kaufman. Next up, I'm going to play a track, and I'm not 100% sure which game exactly it comes from, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong. I'm fairly certain it comes from Bishōjū Senshi Sailor Moon, which came out for the Super Famicom and Mega Drive, and weirdly the Super Nintendo, but only in Europe, not America. And yes, it took this long for Sailor Moon to get featured on this podcast in some way, but this is the episode to do it, really. There are actually a few different games that have variations on this title, all Sailor Moon games, but some fighting, some beat 'em up. And I think this one comes from the first game. I just haven't played it and couldn't be 100% sure. Regardless, this dreamy, very moon-evoking track is titled Queen Serenity and is composed by Takanori Arasawa. Have a listen. Thank you. The Xenoblade series is one I don't know that much about, really. For a long time, I actually thought it was an outright follow-up to Xenogears, which apparently is not outright that, but maybe thematically that. The extent of my knowledge about it is basically limited to what was in the last Smash Brothers game, which is to say I basically know Shulk. I don't know why his name is Shulk. Does the game explain this? Like, is there a reason in the game why he got stuck with such a clunker of a name? Please tell me if there's a reason. I've always wondered. I can tell you one thing I know about Xenoblade Chronicles, though, and that's that the music was composed by Yoko Shimomura, of whom I'm a big fan, and so I've listened to the soundtrack to this game just to hear what she does. She's great at doing a lot of things, but also she has a very good ear for peaceful, quiet music, and this track definitely falls into that category. It's titled Colony 9, parentheses Night, and I could have easily put this on the relaxing game music episode I did 2 weeks ago. Go Yoko. Earlier this year, Super Mercado Brothers, a video game podcast I enjoy, did a really cool episode called Deep Cuts, where they took the major figures from the video game music world and found interesting work that's just not particularly famous in those composers' respective bodies of work. Their selection from Manami Matsumae, who composed the first Mega Man game, was Sonson 2, a PC Engine side-scroller from Capcom in which you control a monkey character hero guy. So hat tip to the Mercado Brothers, as I'd never heard anything from this game beforehand. The Sansan series didn't make a big impact in the US and might actually be most familiar to players from Marvel vs. Capcom 2, where a female version of Sansan was one of the original fighters introduced for the Capcom side, along with Ruby Heart, the pirate who looks like a Darkstalkers character, and Amingo, the sentient cactus who looks like a Darkstalkers character. I've actually always been surprised that these three didn't end up getting shoehorned into a Darkstalkers game later on, but then again, Capcom doesn't really make Darkstalkers games anymore. I digress. Sansan 2 was composed by Manami Matsumae and has some really boss end credits music that I thought fit with this episode's theme. Please enjoy. I've got another Breath of Fire track for you. This one comes from the fourth game in the series, and it actually would have been a great fit in the Moonlight Drive episode. It's called Turismo, and it's the music you hear when you're driving the Sandflyer vehicle, and yeah, it has this chilled out driving vibe to it. It actually also kind of sounds a little bit like laid back fighting game music, but that might just be the Capcom sound coming through. Yeah, and I'm noticing now that this episode has a lot of Capcom in it. Which, who knew that night music was such a great Capcom thing? Turismo was composed by Yoshino Aoki. Have a listen. Proven that not every Castlevania track has to be trying to create some atmosphere of, like, undead dread But in case you don't believe me, I have one more for you. It's from Symphony of the Night, and it's stage music that is titled Crystal Teardrop. And I think that title alone should show you that this one is striving for a sense of calm and beauty rather than, like, you know, skeletons and zombies. Like, how does Goldfrapp not already have a song called Crystal Teardrop? This track, you might not even guess, comes from a Castlevania game if you didn't know. It's just that, peaceful and floaty, I guess. The composer for Crystal Teardrop was Machiro Yamane. If you've been listening to Singing Mountain for a while, you might have noticed that I have a weird thing for Paneled Upon, which is a small-scale Nintendo franchise that stars a cast of, like, cutesy-poo fairy characters. It's probably the best way I can put it. I like reminding people that Nintendo tried to make a puzzle franchise using these cutesy characters, but I also just flat-out like the music for this game, and have been trying to get it into episodes track by track. So far, I've gotten the Big Bad, Cordelia, the snow fairy, and the water fairy. And guess what? There's a moon fairy. Her name is Selene, and she's the last of the non-big bad foes you have to beat in this game. And being a moon-associated character, she has twinkly, beautiful music associated with her. Have a listen to Selene's theme, parentheses Moon World, from Panel to Pond, composed by Masaya Kazume. And lastly, I'm giving you yet another Capcom track. It's from Darkstalkers 3, Jedha's Damnation, which comes from Capcom's jazzy phase and doesn't really sound as dark as you might expect it to. This track is titled Tower of Arrogance, which is Felicia's stage. It's the one where you're fighting on the side of a skyscraper and what should be the horizon behind you is actually the pavement down below. I like this music. It has the energy of a fighting game but manages to temper its sort of urban sound with some nice piano. I actually think it's a good match for the character of Felicia, who's a monster, but just not quite as ferocious as other characters in the game. At least she's not evil or undead. The soundtrack for Darkstalkers 3 was composed by Takayuki Iwai and Masato Kuda. We'll be right back. And that's it. Thank you for listening to this episode. I hope I more or less accomplished my goal of putting together music that evokes a very particular aesthetic. I want to apologize for having a little bit of a slowdown in output. I've been working without a day off for quite a while, so I was just happy to get this episode out this week at all. The last episode I put out actually came out on a Saturday, which is not ideal for me, but I'm gonna do my best to make sure I'm getting these episodes out at the pace I was getting before, and maybe still doing the Friday bonus episodes. And I really want to get to the October stuff because I have some really cool stuff planned for, you know, spooky Halloween music. I've had some playlists that have literally been sitting there for months just waiting for Halloween to come. So please look forward to that. If you have any questions about this podcast, tweet at me. The podcast is at SingMopod, SingMopod, and I'm Drew G. Mackey, MackIe. If you want to listen to any back episodes of this podcast, go to SingingMountainPod.com. Please subscribe any of the places you would normally subscribe to a podcast. Please give me a rate and review, especially on iTunes. iTunes is the important one. It's been a few weeks since I got one, but if you can spare the time it takes to write like three or four sentences, or just one or two, just one sentence would be fine. Please give me a rate and review. They're helpful because all the reasons you've heard on every other podcast ever. I have one last track for you. It's another by Jake Kaufman. Comes from the game Mighty Switch Force, and it is called Soft Collision, which seems like an oxymoron, but I'm not going to argue with Jake Kaufman because this track is beautiful. See ya.